Good morning. This is Commissioner Susan Weefall from the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It's March 12, 2008. The commission is meeting today in the 12th floor of the State Capitol building in our hearing room. As I said, I'm Commissioner Susan Weefall, and with me today is Commissioner Kevin Kramer. Commissioner Clark is not with us today. He's in Washington, D.C., testifying on different bills that he's required to do as a result of his position as president of the Telecommunications Committee at NARUC, our national association. Commissioner Kramer, do you have any welcoming comments?
Just welcome to everyone. Good morning, and I move passage of items in the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, now we'll go to the regular agenda. SW1, I move the commission issue a notice of supplemental hearing for Otter Tail Corporations and Montana Dakota Utility Companies, Advanced Determination of Prudence, case number PU06481 and PU06482.
Second.
This is a continuation of the case that we have had before us for some time. On November 14, 2006, Otter Tail Corporation filed an application for advanced determination of prudence of Otter Tail's participation and ownership interest in the Big Stone 2 generating plant, case number PU06481. The commission held a hearing last summer. We had much evidence and a good record in the case. At that time, though, the commission was notified on September 17th of 2007 that two of the project co-owners had withdrawn from the project and asked the commission to suspend further activity on the case until the applicants developed a recommendation on how to proceed. On October 4th of 2007, the applicants asked the commission to supplement the record, and on December 11th, the applicants asked the commission to establish a procedural schedule for the supplemental hearing. A supplemental public hearing on this matter will be held beginning April 28, 2008 at 9 a.m. in the commission hearing room. This hearing will be broadcast live, as many of our hearings are. Everything seems to be in order, and this is just the next step in this whole case.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. SW2. I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to one day, and assess a filing fee of $100,000 in case number PU0875, Prairie Winds ND1, LLC's proposed 115.5-megawatt wind farm in Ward County, North Dakota.
Second.
Again, this is the first step in this process of a siting process for Prairie Winds North Dakota 1, which is a subsidiary of Basin Electric Cooperative. They're proposing to construct this 115-megawatt wind project in north-central North Dakota. The project would include 77 wind turbine generators and a connecting 115 kV transmission line. The wind resource assessment study projects a net capacity factor in the upper 30 percentage range, which is good. And the power from the project would be supplied to Basin Electric's members through an interconnection with Western Area Power Administration's transmission system. They anticipate that this project would be south and I have a map here. It would basically be south and west of Minot. Go actually from south of Berthold down to south of Sawyer in kind of a diagonal across northwest across that area. Again, everything seems to be in order, and I recommend approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. SW3. These are our fuel cost adjustments, which the commission will not be will just be discussing today. On the MDU fuel cost adjustment, MDU's fuel cost adjustment for the month of March will be 2.468 cents per kilowatt hour. As a result of the change, the electric bill for a typical MDU residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month will increase by 33 cents for bills rendered in the month of March. On Otter Tail's fuel cost adjustment for the month of March, and I welcome the customer of Otter Tail who's in today because she's concerned about Otter Tail's rates, and we'll give you a chance later to share with us your concerns. As a result of, for the month of March, Otter Tails purchased, their cost of fuel will be 5.08 cents per kilowatt hour. As a result of the change from last month, the electric bill for a typical Otter Tail customer using 750 kilowatt hours per month will decrease by 53 cents for bills rendered in the month of March. I want to remind people that this is for the residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month. We know that many Otter Tail customers are using significantly more than that for heat, and their bill would decrease a little bit more. However, the cost of energy for the month of March is still at 5.08 cents. It did not decrease month from last month when it went up significantly. And that ends the items in my portfolio, and we'll go to TC1, which is going to be handled by Commissioner Kramer.
Here I thought I had nothing to do today. The one time I have no agenda items in my portfolio, Tony's not here, so I'm going to handle his. And he has actually the TC1, TC2, and TC3 all relate to trade secret protection for telco companies. So, and actually TC1 relates to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cases. TC1, I move the commission adopt the order granting trade secret protection. Case numbers PU07587, PU07588, PU07590, PU07591, PU07592, and PU07593.
Second.
The companies represented in this motion include Badlands Cellular, North Dakota RSA, North Dakota Central RSA 2, North Dakota 5, which is Kidder Limited Partnership, Northwest Dakota Cellular of North Dakota, Bismarck MSA Limited Partnership. This is a partnership. You'll hear several references to partnerships throughout. But basically what this does is you'll recall that ETC status is, to maintain ETC status requires an annual signing of an affidavit that universal service funds are being spent appropriately due to a rule change that we implemented last year. There's a little more than the affidavit that is required. Now what is required is the actual information relating to the use of universal service funds. As a result of that, we heard testimony from several, if not all, of the telephone companies that although they didn't object to filing more information regarding use of universal service funds, there was some concern about some of the specific information that could be detrimental, if you will, in a competitive environment. So the partnerships in this case and other companies in upcoming cases requested that some of the report be confidential and receive trade secret status. Some of the information specifically relates to network and operating expenses and projection of network and operating expenses, a table identifying specific construction, maintenance, or upgrade projects, a report that includes specific information for outages over 30 minutes experienced by the companies in their ETC designated service areas. And so we did have a hearing on it, on these requests. Staff has weighed in, asked for further information. There were replies. All the appropriate due diligence and everything seems to be in order, and seems appropriate that we honor this trade secret request.
The main reason that we're granting this request is because staff researched this issue after an informal hearing on this and found that the FCC also considers information in these reports to be highly sensitive and protects the information from public dissemination in the Freedom from Information Act. Under North Dakota Century Code 4404.18.1, as interpreted by the North Dakota Attorney General, it allows a state agency to provide confidentiality and protection of information if the information is specifically protected under federal regulation. And the information in these exhibits, A1, A2, A3, and C1, is protected under federal regulation. And so that is the reason that this information is considered trade secret, and that's why the commission is even looking at this issue. Quite frankly, we didn't realize that this information was being protected by the FCC, and it until we had the informal hearing, and that was brought to our attention that they were protecting this information, and then we recognize that that is provided for in state law then to be protected.
I think it's no secret, if you excuse the pun, that North Dakota state law is very bright in terms of its sunshine components, and trade secret protection is much more difficult to get under state law unless, as Commissioner Weefall pointed out, there is a federal law that does protect it. And she's right. In this case, we were somewhat surprised to learn that a lot of this information is protected by the FCC, and therefore we can apply it at this level. And it seems appropriate to me, so.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC2 is similar. I move the commission adopt the order granting trade secret protection to Alltel Communications, Inc., case number PU07595.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And TC3. I move the commission adopt the order granting trade secret protection to RC Communications, Inc. and Roberts County Telephone Cooperative Association, case numbers PU07688 and PU07689.
Second. I have one comment before this. On all four of these, the commission's process does provide a means for interested parties to review trade secret documents upon signing a non-disclosure agreement. That's in our order, but that's standard process.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And TC4, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity to file written comments in the application for approval of an amendment negotiated to the interconnection agreement between Mid-Continent Communications and Consolidated Telecom, case number PU0884.
Second.
This is simply an opportunity for interested parties to provide written comments by April 15th, I guess, or until April 15th of this year, relating to Mid-Continent Communications' petition for approval of an additional territory amendment negotiated in its interconnection agreement with Consolidated Telecom. So if people are interested and want to comment, they have until April 15th to do so. After that point, the commission then has 90 days to either approve, reject, or the adopted negotiation after submission by the parties.
All in favor?
Aye.
That ends the items in mine and Commissioner Clark's portfolios.
All right. And before we go to questions today, we do have a guest at our meeting today. And if you would like to, would you like to have just a few minutes to address the commission at this time? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
My last bill, which I understand is from February to
should she come up to a microphone? Ma'am, you should come up if you would.
If you would, that'd be
and
great.
Then there's a microphone right here for you to speak into. Tell us your name.
Heather Housley from Wing, North Dakota.
Thank you, Heather, for coming.
I also, one of the questions came from our former mayor, who is retired, and he said, if you're going up there, will you ask my question too? So the first one is my question. I was billed for 1 month $432. Out of that, I used, and it says all my kilowatts on the right-hand side, $262.63, I believe it was. The surcharge, or what was put under other charges, was nearly $170. Now, I'm being assessed for kilowatts I have not used. That's my concern. My neighbor's concern was that during this period where Auditel Power is allowed, I believe it's 4 months, a period covering 4 months, whether Otter Tail Power has sold to other electric companies during this period where we're getting the surcharge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is a valid concern. And we believe that the only way to find that out is for the commission to mandate an audit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I don't know whether we should. I think what we'll do is go on now at this point. Tom is willing to meet with you to help you understand your bill better. And so we'll go on for now, and then we'll come back later, okay?
There's a portion on our admin agenda where we discuss this general topic, and that would be an appropriate time for us to have discussion.
Right, and if there's any questions from the media, that we'll be happy to answer those right now as well. Okay, go ahead.
What do they miss?
You know, Janelle, you didn't miss a whole lot.
Too much WSI.
I understand.
That's okay.
We are glad to not be competitive with WSI.
Would you like, I think Brandy has some questions about the Otter Tail.
Sure. Well, I'll go ahead.
Yep. The first item, PU 6481, you set a hearing?
Yes, we did. We set a hearing date for the a continuation of the Big Stone case, and that hearing was set for, that hearing is being set for April 28th, 2008 at 9 a.m.
It's to begin, I believe. Do we have 2 days set aside?
Yes, we do.
Two days?
Yes.
Okay.
3 days in case. We're not encouraging it.
28th, 29th, 30th?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And that's here?
That's correct as well.
What time will it start?
It'll start at 9 a.m.
You may have answered this while I was asking.
Mm-hmm.
What will you discuss? Just briefly tell us what you're going to discuss during the three-day hearing.
During the three-day hearing, we have three issues: whether the resource addition is reasonable and prudent, whether the applicants have need for additional generating resources, and what alternatives exist for meeting additional generation needs. The same basic issues that were before us before.
Yeah, the same challenge, the same questions exist, the same answers are required. Obviously, we have a lot of information on the record already. However, we are now talking about a different size plant, and it's not unreasonable to expect that a lot of the previous testimony and evidence it will still be useful and valuable, but clearly we'll need some additional information to supplement the record.
And this is all because some partners pulled out.
Yes,
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Two of the project co-owners withdrew from the project.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do with the Prairie Winds? Do you just sort of acknowledge?
That's right. We acknowledged their letter of intent today, the first step in the process.
Do you know anything more about their timeline or anything? You waived their waiting period?
We waived the waiting period one day. That's correct.
So what will be the next step then?
The next step will be waiting for them to file their application. And we anticipate that from their letter sometime this fall.
You'll have to hold a hearing on it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You expect the letter of application this fall?
Mm-hmm, because that's what they said in their letter of intent.
And the discussion on the Otter Tail March fuel cost adjustment, was there much of anything?
We can discuss that further now, if you'd like.
All right. It's a continuation of the fuel cost went down
very slightly this month from last month, and it's not going to be a tremendous impact on people's bills. Those bills are still going to be very high for Otter Tail customers. The fuel cost adjustment that we're looking at right now, let's see here. I have to get my paperwork. is still just over 5 cents, 5.08 cents per kilowatt hour, and that's down just slightly from last month. And so Otter Tail customers, especially those who use electricity to heat their homes, are going to be seeing significant bills again from Otter Tail in the month of March.
And this is, the previous one was 5.15?
That, you know, that sounds vaguely familiar, but I wouldn't dare confirm that without looking.
Correct.
But that sounds
5.15.
And so now it's 5.08.
Yes.
True. So all the you know, the good news is the cost of fuel per kilowatt hour is down a little bit, and that's not very much good news given that how little it is. The really good news, however, is it's been in the 50s and 60s, and so let's hope that March can provide some relief in terms of usage. However, the cost per kilowatt hour is far too high.
This is the power that's going to be used in March and billed in April.
That's correct.
I think that's it.
Okay. Anything from anyone else? The commission does have on its admin, we're going to be talking about how we're planning to proceed in the Otter Tail case. And so that's on admin, and we'll be getting to that in a few minutes.